This is BFBS.
The Forces Station.
Hayley Hammond meets John Coughlan of Status Quo.
I have always said, if I hadn't become a rock star, I would have enlisted in the Royal Air Force. I'm a huge supporter of our armed forces and love to think of you rocking all over the world. So here's my music special on BFBS, The Forces Station.
Hayley Hammond meets John Coughlan of Status Quo.
From the 12th studio album released in 1979, that's Whatever You Want. Founded in 1962, Status Quo were formed in London by Francis Rossi and Alan Lancaster with Rick Parfitt and John Coughlan. John stayed with the band as drummer right up until 1982, then rejoined for the Frantic Four Tour 2013 to 2014 and now joins me here in the studio. What an honour to have you.
It's a pleasure.
I feel like we need to start at the very beginning.
Yeah.
Drumming, how did you even stumble across that?
Well, it was in my early days. Mum and Dad used to take me to what we called the CBH, was the Crystal Palace Hotel. They used to go and ballroom dancing. I used to sit in the corner and watch a drummer. And I thought, that's interesting. I wonder if I could do that. All I did was watch, learn, and listen to records. And I picked it up. I really don't know how. Really, I taught myself. And the strange thing is, I'm left-handed to write and drink a pint of beer.
Very important to know.
Also, I've learned I can drink a pint of beer from my right hand.
Up for when you're drumming.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, Ringo Starr was left-handed, played right-handed, and so was John Bonham from Led Zeppelin. And I think the reason is, in their early days when we all started playing, we never, ever saw a left-handed drummer. I just taught myself. And then, because when Francis Allen asked me to join their band, it was great, you know. I joined the band in 62. 65, we won this audition to go and play at Butlins and Minehead for a summer season.
Oh, wow.
Away from our parents.
I bet that was fun.
Oh, it was great. But yeah, that's how it all started.
So let's go back a little bit before Butlins then. You were part of the Air Cadets, weren't you? Tell me about that.
I was at Kingsdale Comprehensive School. There was a friend of mine in my class called Stephen Ainsworth. He said, John, I'm an air cadet. I said, what's that? It's an air training corps. He said, you like aeroplanes? I said, especially military ones. You know, I had visions of being a young man in the Air Force, and of course, it never happened. I'd become a rock drummer instead.
I don't think that's a bad thing, though, is it? Really?
I remember someone in the Air Force saying to me many years ago, no, John, you made the right decision. You toured the world, and lots of girls chasing you. I think you've done the right thing, you know. But, you know, great cadet days. I learnt aircraft recognition. And funny, I'm living in Shilton. Lived in the village 38 years so far, and I've got to know every aeroplane by the sound. And I've been very lucky, been invited to fly with the RAF at Bryce Norton. I've been in two C-17s, 171 and 172, and the Voyager up to Aberdeen. That was flight refuelling. And trouble is, we got up there and it was dark. And so Chris, the pilot, said, run down the back, Johnny, turn the flash off your phone. You can see a picture out the window. And it was really strange. I remember coming out the cockpit, opening the door. The heating was on because it was freezing. Got no one in there. It was just like one of those science fiction films. All your friends have disappeared. I'm on my own. It was lovely. It was great.
And it's through the air cadets, isn't it, really, that you stumbled across Francis and Alan. Tell me about that.
Well, they asked me to join, and we did some little gigs. We played locally. Alan Lancaster's dad was a manager of a little social club. We did that once a month, and we got rehearsing a lot, and it really became a good band. And Roy Lyons joined the band to play keyboards. And from then on, the first hit in 1968, Pictures of Matchstick Men, that was on Top of the Pops. You'd be at the BBC so long, you'd be there all day doing three or four rehearsals, only miming, of course. And we said, we've got 2 or 3 hours to kill before we go live on air. Let's go to the bar. I remember Rod Stewart, I mean, I think he was with the Faces. And when they went on, they were playing football on stage and singing at the same time, you know. It's a shame they took it off because it did sell records.
Well, also, I read that Status Quo are the band that performed the most times on Top of the Pops the entire time it was running.
Yeah, that's true. I think it was, I can't remember how many times I did it with the band, but because I left in 81. Pete Kershaw took my place. Then I think Matt Letley took over. Then Matt left. I never know the band. I have so many drummers.
But you were the main one, really, yeah. Let's face it, John. You went through lots of different band names before you settled on Status Quo, didn't you?
Yeah.
But then it really took off. What was the biggest album for you guys where it just went above and beyond and you were in this whirlwind of showbiz?
Our manager, who's a guy called Pat Barlow, it was strange because he had a shop in Lambeth Walk in London. He was a gas fitter at a gas showroom. And we used to rehearse in the basement. And he came up with the Status Quo. And we thought, it's all right, we don't know. Well, then we dropped there and just called it Status Quo, and it stuck. I think Pole Driver was one of our big albums, and I'm not sure which, I can't remember. There was a lot we did.
We had a cocktail named after Pole Driver later on down the line, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we recorded 14 albums. That's a lot of albums. And one that I remember, we were recording in Holland, and we're recording one in the daytime. Doing well, and it's just a massive, massive explosion. We stopped playing, thinking, oh, an amplifier's blown up. And we looked out the little window, there was a door, and there was an office there with the girls' staff running out. And so we all stopped playing, and we run out of studio. Outside in the open air, there was a tree with smoke pouring out of it. And so there was a thunderstorm.
Wow.
And it struck the tree. It went right down the middle of the tree. The tree was about as wide as this. These microphones, not very wide. We were lucky, really. We thought, my God, we could have been electrocuted.
Absolutely.
And so, obviously, the place was all very sound, so they fixed it and we started recording again.
And speaking of recording, let's take a break for a minute and play one of your chosen Status Quo tracks. You've chosen Mystery Song as one of your favourite Quo songs to play today. Tell me why. Why this one?
Well, Ricky Parfitt wrote that and he sings it extremely well. It gallops along. It's really up-tempo. It's lovely. It's just one of our great songs. And they were very good, Rick Parfitt, Francis Rogers, Alan Lancaster, Bob Young. There's loads of stuff we recorded and they were good songwriters and the fans loved it. And Mystery Song is one of my favourites. We'll be right back.
BFBS.
The Forces Station.
Hayley Hammond meets John Coughlan of Status Quo.
So I want to talk to you then, John. Out of all the different places that you've performed throughout your time with Status Quo, do you have a favourite place or venue that sticks out in your mind?
Yeah, there was. We recorded the live album in Glasgow Apollo. That, I remember, it was great. It was a massive gig. The strange thing, if I was sitting in the front row, looking at the stage, you look up in the air like that, like you're looking at the ceiling, because the stage is really high. Anyway, we were playing away, and it had four balconies. And this just goes to show how well that building was built. Because you know the quote, tempo is, oh, bam, bam. All the kids jump up and down. Honestly, we could see all four balconies bouncing. We're thinking, oh, my God. You know, we do, like, say, three, four nights. We're praying that it won't break. My dad was from Glasgow. My dad said it used to be called the Greens Playhouse. Then it was called the Glasgow Apollo. So obviously, I think they were shipbuilders that built it in Glasgow because it was so strong. And the sad thing is they knocked it down in the end. It's gone, I think, now. But a lot of gigs were fabulous. I mean, the fans have been lovely. The Status Quo fans have been adorable and they've always approved and been great with us. And like the two reunion tours we did, 13 and 14, when all four of us got back together, we weren't like the Beatles, I'm going to pull your hair out. But I remember going back to Glasgow Apollo, this lovely hotel, but in massive windows where the bar was. And so the management had locked the door so the fans couldn't get in. Anyway, there was Rick Parfitt and Lancaster, me and Jim, the chauffeur, standing at the bar. And one of them said, I've got an idea. Just drop your jeans.
Okay.
We dropped our jeans, got our back facing the window, but looking round, waving. I've got a photo of it somewhere. If I find it, Hayley, I'll bring it in. It's hilarious. And Jim, the chauffeur, said, oh, John, you won't tell my wife about this, will you?
A lot of full moons that night then, John.
It was the most funniest thing I've ever seen. Yeah, it was hilarious. Obviously, the parts are covered up and no one's naked, of course.
No, of course not.
But yeah, good days. I mean, some grand days with Kyle, you know, good fun.
Let's play one of your song choices now. You had lots of parties. You met lots of people along the way as well. One of those people was Joan Armatrading. Can you tell me about this encounter and how it's led to her being on your song choices today?
Well, I had an album at home, which I think I've still got it somewhere. And I think she had a fabulous voice and her songs are great and she plays guitar well. It's very brief. It's in Salusa and hello, how are you, etc. And that was about it, really.
The Love and Affection track, why have you chosen this specific track?
Just one of those things, when you play an album, you always go back to that song. It's just something about it. Is maybe it's romantic. I burst out crying now.
There's a lot of emotion in the song, then, that speaks to you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. My problem is, I should probably cry when I hear it.
This is Joan Armatrading with Love and Affection.
I am not in love, but I'm open to persuasion, east or west, where's the best for romancing with a friend? I can smile, but with a lover I could hold my head back, but really laugh, really laugh. Took me dancing across the floor, cheek to cheek, but with a lover I could really move, really move. I could really dance, really dance, really dance, really dance. I could really move, really move, really move, really move. Now if I can feel the sun face, why can't I feel love? Oh, really love, really love, really love, really love, really love, 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 love. Now I got all the friends that I want. I may need more, but I should just stick to those that I have got.
small with the feeling. Give me love, give me love, give me love. Love, sing it, sing it,
sing it, sing it.
You know that's what I like.
Love,
once more with a feeling. Sing me another love song, but this time with a little dedication. Sing it,
sing it, sing it, sing it.
You know that's what I like.
Love,
with affection. With a little dedication,
love,
once more with a feeling. You know that's what I like,
love.
BFBS Original Music Specials.
Hayley Hammond meets John Coughlan of Status Quo.
So you're just telling me there about, you know, all the great drummers.
Yeah.
Now, when it comes to tracks that really showcase the drummer, because you're often, you're at the back sometimes, would you say a bit forgotten about the drummer?
I have noticed recently on Facebook, there's some early television, or quite early television of Slade. The character working the cameras in the control room seems to just basically all the time on the lead singer or lead vocalist. And sometimes you get a beautiful guitar solo and you think, right, go on to guitar now. Oh, there's a drum break, and they miss that.
And speaking of drum breaks, I'm of a generation where I was kind of introduced to this next song thanks to a particular chocolate brand's advert with a gorilla playing the drums, where the gorilla was the main focus.
Yeah.
Why have you chosen Phil Collins and In the Air Tonight?
Because I thought, well, Phil had a great voice, and Phil was always a good drummer.
So we've got the full version for you here, though, or the album version today.
It's Phil Collins and In the Air Tonight.
Two eyes, so you can wipe.
Hayley Hammond meets John Coughlan of Status Quo.
BFBS.
The Forces Station.
We're going to move away from the tours at the minute for a moment. You've got a nickname, Spud.
Yeah.
How did that come about?
Well, I tell you what, it's like being in the Air Force in a way. There's always someone got a nickname.
Yeah.
That's how it is. And the bands are all the same. The funny thing was, we all go into London and we all used to go to this shop. And we'd go and buy trousers and frilly jackets and frilly shirts at Top of the Pop before we changed the image, thank God. And walking down Wardour Street with all these clothes on for a photo session, and Rick Parfitt was walking behind me. He said, John, your trousers are a bit big around the bum, like a sack of spuds. So I quickly pulled them up, and Rick was Reg, and Alan Lancaster, he was called Nuff Nuff. Now, that was rotten, really, because the first time we ever played in France as the Spectres, before we were Quo, can you believe it? In a little Ford van, we drove down into Avignon. We played a week in this little club. And the promoter called it Alan, because he got like turned up nose, Nuff Nuff, and that's pig.
Oh.
It's awful. Hello, pig, pig. Nuff Nuff. And one of the road crew called Francis Frame, because he was like a wiry frame. He was quite thin.
Yeah.
And we all got nicknames, and I think the nicknames stick.
They do. And this one stuck so much. It's the name of your new book, which is an autobiography, isn't it? What can people expect from this book?
Well, that's right from the very beginning, right up to the days I left and Diesel Band and but a Partners in Crime. But, yeah, you know, I've played with loads of different musicians and it's been great fun.
Now, we were just talking about the book going all over the world.
Yeah.
Just like this show is going to go all over the world. I want to play now your second choice of the Status Quo tracks, Living on an Island. Now, the music video to this, I don't know if you've put two and two together. I was watching it and it reminded me of the Falkland Islands.
Wow.
Obviously, it's called Living on an Island. We see you guys playing, but then it tails off and has loads of penguins. Well, there's penguins all over the Falklands. The vocals are incredible on this track as well. Why have you chosen this one?
Well, people only expect me to play Mystery Song, Rock Around the World, all the up-tempo songs, if you like. I thought Living on an Island is such a lovely song. And at the time, we all moved out of England because we were, can you believe, paying 94% tax. And what's the point in working? We were told to leave England, and Francis Rossi went to Southern Ireland. Rick Parfitt went to Jersey. And I had lots of friends and chums in the Isle of Man. So I went to move there. And I bought a farmhouse with 4 acres on a clifftop. I remember this Manx man coming up to me, Mr. Coughlan, he said, I understand you bought Ballotier farmhouse. I said, yeah, yeah. Do you know about the added little secret? Oh, no. I thought, oh, no, what have I done? It's got a dungeon or something. He said, no, no, Mr. Coughlan. There's a bombing range in the sea. Oh, wow. Of course, then I looked south. There's a radar going around. Look north. There's a control tower. Anyway, it was a bombing range in the sea quite a way out. You could see a lot of flashing light. It was F-111s from RAF Upper Heyford, Americans. And they come in, what they call toss bombing. They pull the plane up, flick the plane around, the bomb would go up in there and go pop in the water somewhere. And like everything else, you like being near Bryce, you get used to the aircraft noise and sound. And I heard something else one day. I said, that's not an F-111. We run outside into the backyard into on the clifftop. It was a Vulcan bomber. And he went round, he did two circuits and dropped a practice bomb. So I've actually seen a Vulcan bomber bombing. And he disappeared. He never came back again. I remember going back to this Manxman. He said, oh, Mr. Coughlan, he said, Living on Ireland, did you write that about the Isle of Man? I said, no, Rick Parfitt wrote that about Jersey. He wasn't very happy. No, this is one of my favourite Quo songs. This is Living on an Island.
Easy when you're number one. Everybody say you're having fun. Smiling for the public eye. When your body say you wanna die. Living on an island. Looking at another life. Waiting for my friend to come. And we'll get high. Huey got a real nice place. Cruxy gonna be there soon. And I just wanna see him. Waiting.
BFBs, the Forces Station.
Hayley Hammond meets John Coughlan of Status Quo.
All these experiences that you've had throughout your life, I'm wondering if you can tell us one thing that we'd be surprised to know. Is there something that you think, I don't think anyone would know this about me or would expect this to have happened?
Oh, it was one hilarious Top of the Pops. I can't remember what song it was now, but Anne Lancaster was living in Sydney, Australia, which he did for many years, and it worked out very well. Anyway, Colin Johnson was our manager, and he said, oh, we got a problem. Alan doesn't want to fly over to London to do Top of the Pops. So how about this? So Colin Johnson found a dummy.
OK.
And he said to Alan, send your bass guitar, your stage shirt, your stage jeans and jacket, blah, blah, blah. And he put a wig on the dummy. It was hilarious. We're going for rehearsals, and Colin's up in the rafters, pulling the strings. Anyway, this is a true story, and they made up the dummy summit to try and look like Alan Lancaster. Alan Lancaster's auntie was watching Top of the Pops, and I was told Alan's mum got a phone call. I'll just say Alan on Top of the Pops, darling. You don't look too well.
Did they ever get told that it wasn't him?
Eventually, yeah. Yeah, it was so funny. I mean, people must have burst out laughing watching that.
Oh, I want to see that recording now. Let's play another one of your tracks then. And this is all your love, really, for rock music, isn't it? Why have you chosen this track?
Oh, I think this is beautiful. I just love the sax solo in it. It's so, so important. Ladies and gentlemen, this is one of my favourite songs. This is Baker Street by Jerry Rafferty.
Thank you. BFBS.
The Forces Station.
Hayley Hammond meets John Coughlan of Status Quo.
I'm Hayley Hammond, and John Coughlan, drummer of Status Quo and former air cadet, joins me in the Bryce Norton studios today. I want to get back onto military stuff in a moment. We'll talk about your four-wheel drive vehicles soon. But before that, I wanted to ask, so you left Quo in 81. Obviously, they then disbanded in 84, but reunited with 85 for Live Aid. Is there part of you, John, that wishes you were there for Live Aid to open that concert?
Well, Anna Lancaster said they thought about getting me back in for that concert. I would have done it, of course, you know, but the phone never rang, so I didn't bother getting around to it, so I don't know.
And what was it in 81 that made you decide, do you know, I need to take a step back?
Well, I think I've said before, you know, if we weren't recording, we were touring. If we weren't touring, we were recording.
That's exhausting.
Yeah, and I think, really, if we, say, taken a couple of months off, I mean, the fans wouldn't have minded. I mean, it would have been good for us all. And I think I was having problems with the headphones that I was trying to listen to these tracks. And I thought, well... And I think the stress was starting to show in the band, and I think we had an argument. And I went back to Charlemagne and just... We took a year off, and I recouped myself and... There's a lot of disappointed fans, but hey.
You've got to put yourself first, haven't
yeah.
you?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm 77 now. I'm enjoying life really well, and I still play with John Coughlan's Quo Reimagined. When you think of a Quo song in a jazz thing, you think, oh, I bet it's going to be totally different. Well, it's not. You like Caroline, you'd recognise it. Mean Girl, a rock and roll of the world, you'd recognise that. But just with different instruments, and it sounds really good, and I'm enjoying playing it. And also, it gives me a chance to play the drums lightly and play with brushes, and it is much lighter and easier for me to play somehow.
That is something I wanted to ask as well. If you were to choose any other instrument to play in a band, it doesn't have to be a rock band, it can be in an orchestra. Aside from the drums, what instrument do you wish you could just pick up and excel in and play?
Well, you know, we had passes to go to a fashion show at Blenheim Palace. There was a massive, massive organ there. You know, the tubes go up and up and up and up into the ceiling. And I thought, I'd love to sit there and play that.
There you go, an organ then.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have no idea where to start. I'd have to have the lessons. But I just love percussion, play congas and bongos, and I played a... timpani drums and things like that in the past, and it's been great fun.
We're going to play your final track then that you've chosen for this hour. It's one actually that for me just screams physical fitness. Why have you chosen this track?
There's something electric about it. It's wonderful. It sends me into oblivion. It's wonderful. I just love the sound. Here is Europe with Final Countdown.
Thank you.
SBS.
The Forces Station.
Hayley Hammond meets John Coughlan of Status Quo.
Do you remember, in your time with the Quo, ever performing for the Forces anywhere?
Oh, I'm sure we have. I know I've done it with one of my bands. We went to RAF Akrotiri. We did BFBS there. This is years ago. Yeah, I'm sure Status Quo has played the RAF somewhere. I played at RAF Bryce Norton, 99 Squadron.
And I know this is going to be a really easy question for you. If you were to go back and sign up to the Forces, which would you choose, Army, Navy or RAF?
Oh, it'd be RAF every time.
That was what you were going to do, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then you became a rock star drummer instead. In those 11 years on the two reunions that you were part of Status Quo for, how many gigs do you think you performed in total?
On the reunion tours, I don't know. I've never counted, but probably about 20 in Europe, probably about 20 in England, maybe. Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great. And also, you had these serious luxury buses. You sleep on them. You've got a kitchen there, you've got a shower. It worked a treat. And sometimes, especially in Germany, we stopped for diesel on the way. And Rick Parfitt used to get off his bus and come on our bus and bring a ukulele. And so we'd open the fridge. Oh, dear, look at that bottle of wine looking very lonely. we'd open it. We'd have our dinner, you know, come out the fridge and put it in the microwave. I said, where's Francis? Rick went, oh, don't talk about him. He put himself to bed, miserable sod, like that, right? So we carried on the whole tour without seeing Francis at all, really, except on stage, of course. But sleeping on the bus was great. I remember me and Julie's room was upstairs, front, right, so massive windscreen. I'm laying up there, my feet up on the windowsill, drinking a glass of wine. And I said to myself, this is not a bad life, really. This is great. And then the bus around the left-hand corner fell off.
Oh.
straight onto the bed. But I managed to stay on the bed with my glass of wine upright. I was OK.
You didn't spill a drop, I bet, did you?
No.
Saving that. Now, despite never progressing into the Forces yourself, your love for the military is still there. You now collect military four-wheel drive vehicles, don't you?
I used to. I belong to a club called the Military Vehicle Trust, MVT.
How did that passion start?
Well, it all started through me being a member of the all-wheel drive club, which is off-road racing, is against the clock. It's all army land. Then there's a guy called Richard Bedell. He said, oh, Johnny, would you like to come to Duxford with some of my military vehicles? And he had some Bedford QLs, and they're World War II Bedford three-ton trucks. And we drove him up to Duxford, and I enjoyed it so much. I got involved. We used to go to military vehicle events. In the Isle of Man, I had a Bedford QL, Bova's tractor, which used to tow the gun. I had a Volvo Sugger from the Swedish Army. I had a Humber Snipe, which was in Yanks, a TV series. What else? I had a Dodge Mowag, that was like an armoured car.
And you used to drive all these around as well?
Yeah, I know, on the Isle of Man, I know. It was good fun. But the only trouble is, it's like anything else. You see, I've had this before. I'm not a mechanic. I'd always have to get someone to fix it. But I remember we took some Bedford QLs to France, Normandy, for D-Day. We were told to take some veterans and some amphibious ducks to the Mulberry Harbour. There's all these veterans there with their medals and looking grand. And we were told, get them on up the ladders, put them in the duck and put life belts on them. And this old boy said, what are you doing, son? I said, you got to wear a life jacket. I never worn those in 1942. I'm not wearing a thing now.
Yeah.
So anyway, we went out on our duck with a vicar with all the reeds. All their wives and girlfriends were with us at the time. It was the most moving thing ever. And I thought, these poor guys were shot at and things. My dad was in the army, my uncle was in the Red Devils, and survived, you know. I just think you've got to protect your country. And that's basically it, really, for me, you know. I'm probably too old to join up, really. What could I do? But I just think you need to have respect for your country, respect for the armed forces.
I wonder, for any diehard fans who would be interested to know, sadly, there's only two of you left of the original four from Quo.
Yeah.
Do you ever see you and Francis Rossi performing together again?
No, it's really strange. We did the reunion tour, as you know, and I said recently to his manager, would Francis like me to pop along to one of his gigs one day and walk on stage and we sit and chat for an hour? He said, I'll ask him. I'll let you know tomorrow, John.
And he's still waiting.
Yeah, well, he called about something else. Oh, I did ask. He said no. He just doesn't like mixing for some reason. So, you know, hey, who cares?
But you four together, you were a band of brothers. You were in a band. It's kind of like that was your, again, with your roadies and everybody else that was a part of the tour bus alongside, that was your military unit, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, that's right. The good thing about Quo, the rhythm section was great, which is Alan Lancaster on bass, me on drums, Rick Parfitt on rhythm guitar. But we all worked together. That's why. I really enjoyed doing this BFBS, Hayley, and I love the military. And I knew I should have joined the Air Force. Yeah, I mean, having the rides on some of the aircraft has been such a delight for me. I've got lots of friends in the Bryce Norton and RAF. And I must tell you a funny story. When I was asked by Squadron Leader Jackie Millar-Smith, would you come up on stage at the Bravos and say hello and open an envelope and the winner is? Anyway, so I did that and this delightful lady came over to me. Thank you, John, for taking time out. I said, oh, honestly, it's a pleasure. It was Claire O'Grady. And I said, oh, excuse me, Claire, what's your job on the base? John, darling, said, I'm the station commander. I still try to salute her. And I've met loads of good friends on the RAF. I think it stems back from my cadet days.
Yeah, and I really think, had you not have bumped into Alan Lancaster and Francis Rossi all those years ago, I could have been talking to you as a veteran from RAF Bryce Norton, couldn't I?
Yeah, I've been very lucky in having dinners in the officers' mess, dinners in the sergeants' mess, and it's been great. And I think just to be invited to come along to these things, it's good, and I just love the military. And I think that's why I was probably part of the military vehicle trust for a while, with military vehicles. And I was asked once, would I like to a parachute drop? No.
Oh, my goodness. With the RAF Falcons.
God, blimey, yeah.
I mean, I can see it happening. I can talk to them if you want, if you've changed your mind.
Well, I don't know.
You up for it?
I don't know. I have to think about it.
You'll get back to me on that. Well, John, I just want to say thank you so much for taking the time out to come and talk to us here at BFBS and for sharing your wonderful stories. As we come towards the end, there is one final quote track I would love to play us out with, which is, I would say, definitely out there as one of the forces anthems. Never fails to get people on the dance floor. Our forces are all over the world.
Yeah.
Do you have a message for those that are listening right now, whether they're serving, veterans, wherever they may be?
Yeah. Being, you know, right next to RAF Bryce Norton, which I have for the past 38 years, I just want to send a love and regards to all the military, which we love you. And look after yourselves, you guys out there, and let's hope we can fly together soon.
Please do introduce this song for us, for the forces.
It's Status Quo and Rocking All Over the World.
Oh, FBS Original Music Specials.
On air, online, on the app,
on FM,
and DAB Plus throughout the UK. This is BFBS.
BFBS.
The Forces Station.